Would you pray with me? Loving God, we give you thanks for your word. And we pray that each of us may hear in it your truth for us. It may be a different truth for each of us. But may your Spirit speak to us and give us not just the will to follow you, not just understanding, but to know in our heart of hearts that it is the truth for our lives. This we pray in your Son's name. Amen. Recently, I heard a story of how one man challenged to another to an all-day wood chopping contest. The challenger worked very hard during this contest, stopping only for a brief lunch break. The other man had a leisurely lunch and took several breaks during the day. And at the end of the story, the challenger was surprised and annoyed to find that the other fellow had chopped substantially more wood than he had. "I don't get it," the challenger said. "Every time I checked, you were taking a rest, yet you chopped more wood than I did." "But didn't you notice," said the winning woodsman, "that I was sharpening my axe when I sat down to rest?" This is more than a tortoise and hare story. Because in the downtime, the one who was resting, the one who won, was preparing for what was coming next by sharpening his axe. And I think we find this in our story of Deborah as well. I think in many ways, Deborah was the first of the first feminist in the Bible, and one of only a few in the whole Bible. Because you see, here we have a woman who at that time in the Jewish or the Israelite Hebrew faith had no position or power or place. She was considered property. And yet, here is a woman who was a prophetess. And men and women came to her for resolution of their issues. Some women had no voice, and yet here they were listening to this particular woman. But, this sermon isn't about feminism. But notice how she's presented. She used to sit under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. And the Israelites came up to her for judgment. She used to sit. Now, we can imagine that there were times that she was alone there, when people weren't necessarily beating the door down, or beating the path down to get to her. And so she sat in those times, thinking things through, working them through, so she could render her judgments. And they must have been fair. People must have considered her to be very good at what she did, because people came and they listened to her, even if she was a woman. She used to sit under the palm of Deborah. That's a very powerful statement. Especially in our time when sitting and doing nothing is equated with not working hard enough. We're lazy if we sit and do nothing. The truth is, we all need times and places where we can just sit quietly and reflect. Yet we don't take them, and I'm just as guilty as you are. We are conditioned to be doers. There's always something that has to be done. But all that does, often, is harm us. Harm our spirits, but also our emotional and physical lives when we're constantly doing. Remember, Jesus, the one that we call the Messiah, the Son of God, often went up off by himself to sit, to pray. That's how we stay grounded. Grounded in God, but also grounded in what God wanted him to be and what God wanted him to do. And I think this is an appropriate day to consider this because we just baptized Mason. And I would love for him to grow up and know the importance of just sitting for moments of time. How wonderful it would be for him to hear from his church family how they take time to be still before God. The psalmist in Psalm 46:10 writes, "Be still and know that I am God." If he could hear that, not just from his biological family, but from his church family, and remember, you just promised to help raise and nurture him. If he could hear from that from his family of faith and practice it in his own life, I think it would go a long way to helping him understand that God loves him and how he can be God's loving and serving child. And I think it's highly appropriate that this scripture and this subject of sitting still comes up at this time of the year, or at least every 3 years in the lectionary it does, as we prepare to hear, as we're all shuddering thinking about it, the holiday season. A time when our lives become so scrambled and stressed that we lose sight of what we are celebrating. There are those people that say, "We're taking Christ out of Christmas." Because people say happy holidays and things like that. I don't think that's how we take Christ out of Christmas. Or God out of Thanksgiving, for that matter. We take God and Christ out of Christmas and Thanksgiving by not sitting with them. And our lives are moved away by that stuff that has to be done. And we lose the reason that we're celebrating because we're too busy doing to remember. You know, the big thing the last few years has been to blame the big stores that are opening on Thanksgiving. And this year, a bunch of them are opening at 5 o'clock on Thanksgiving evening. And yes, they do have a part of the blame for taking away from Thanksgiving, even maybe taking God out of Thanksgiving, I don't know. But the people also have a responsibility in them. You've all heard the statement, if you build it, they will come. Well, the opposite is true, too. If you don't build it, they won't come. Or if you build it and they don't come, then you'll not do it. You get the idea of what I'm trying to say. Reverend Dr. John Killinger, who's a Presbyterian minister in a piece entitled "Knowing God, the Nourishing Quiet," offered a commentary on Psalm 46:10, and he shares this thought. Like the story I read recently is told by Richard Bowles, author of "What Color Is Your Parachute?" It is about a man who lived in England. He had a 3-story house that he wanted to tear down and rebuild. The city council would not give him permission to raise the present building. So, he put jacks under the second floor and completely rebuilt the first floor. Then he put jacks between the first and third floor and totally rebuilt the second floor. And finally, he rebuilt the third floor. He had a totally new house, but at no point could the council say, "He tore down the old house to build a new one." Killinger goes on to explain Our transformations are gradual. They occur little by little. Then one day, we wake up and say, hey, this is a new me. And God is at the center of my life, and what a wonderful life it is. You see, when we sit still, we're slowly rebuilding our life to fit with God's plan, God's ideas of what should be, and Jesus's as well, with God at the center. As we enter this holiday season and beyond, let's find a time and a place to just sit and be still. Let's begin a lifelong practice of allowing God to be a part of our lives by sitting and listening rather than every now and then telling God what we want. Which often, if you admit it, if you're honest, is what we often do. But let's just sit and listen for a change. It will allow us to sharpen our spiritual centers. It worked for Deborah. It worked for Jesus. And I believe it can work for us. May it be so for you. May it be so for me. Amen.